leave here and make a decision, it will change. You have the ability to overcome every obstacle that's been put across your path right now. And you just got to say, yes, Lord. Rely on Him and stop relying on your strength. Stop making excuses. Stop trying to bluff everything. Just take hold of Him. And that's where your strength is. That is the power. He's the power, not you. You will never be able to do it yourself. It's only as you trust in Him and you lean upon Him that He will do it. And He will cause you. God's got a calling in your life. You've been dodging that calling. There's been that war there. You've been trying to do all sorts of things and to bluff all sorts of people. God is not bluff. God's calling your bluff tonight. And He's saying, my son, come, I'm waiting for you. He's actually saying, come, I want to hold you. That's what He's doing. Huh? That's amazing. He loves you. You just open up. He loves you just so much. And He wants to do so much for you. Amen. That's cool, huh? Guys, just behind there, just pray for that guy. Tate, if you don't know him, just put your hands out there. Let us just release. Lord, somebody just pray for him there. I don't need to. Come on. I've been asked to do the offering tonight. So we're going to have a prophetic offering. That means this has got to be overflowing. No, serious. You know, when you look at Malachi in the Old Testament, it tells you, in the Old Testament, it tells you, test the Lord by this. And this is a way we test the Lord, but it's not that I want to put into you. He says, in your giving, He will protect your source of your income. That's what it says in the Amplified Version. But then you take it to Calvary, and you go into the other side of the cross, and what do you see? God loves a giver whose heart is in His giving. What we've been saying about the prophetic, it's a heart issue. It's heart to heart with God. And this is a way we can do it. This is not just, you know, it's so easy, I said before, to just click on prophetic to everything. But this is a way we can prophetically also give, that the gospel will go out, that the stand that the church makes will be known to the people out there, etc., etc. And I haven't got a whole sermon on that, but I could give you one some other time. But here you are, you just give as your heart is, as your purpose in your heart. And you know, God loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, so you've got to be laughing when you give, okay? Just pass them through. Yeah, you can take it down here. Did you all do your homework I gave you last week? Who was not here last week? Could you just put your hands up? Why don't you... got you, okay. Okay. I didn't even try yet. Just gonna switch it on. There we are. Look, put in last week's homework's fine. Last week's homework, remember I gave you that little thing out there at the Message Bible. If you really want the Word, I like what you said about the Word. Get into, that's just me, the Message, because the Message speaks today's language, and that's what you're speaking. And remember what we said after the Message last week? God's yes and your yes together is so powerful. And that's why I challenge you to go and write down the things and go and write down the promises. Isn't it amazing that Steve emphasized that sort of thing this morning in the church as well as the notices went out? I actually brought it to remind you there's something here, and it's something of what we say. So already what we're seeing here is God's prophetic way to challenge us, to challenge the church to write down these things, write down things that God has said. And if God has said that, you write it down. Remember, my challenge to you, the practical issues of the whole thing is having a journal and writing down everything that has happened one step at a time. Don't leave it. Write it down. Keep a record. And as Habakkuk 2 says, that when you write it down, everybody going past, and it says basically can see what it is, can see the vision. Now, I've got a vision. I've actually got two pages of what I want to do. I want to be the best authentic prophetic voice in the whole of South Africa and the world. Now you might think that's, you know, but it isn't. That's what I am. That's where I'm going. Like these dudes are going to be one of the best worship teams in the whole of South Africa and the world. They're going to make impact. I'm going to make impact, not because of me, but because of Jesus in me. And that's what we sang about this evening as well. And that's what it's about. It's all about him. And I'm going to challenge you in a couple of issues tonight, and then we'll see how far we go and what the Lord wants to say to us. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. By the way, those who got the right that wrote these things down, would like somebody like to just get up and tell me what you wrote and any things in your heart that is on your heart? We've got a microphone here. You're welcome just to share. Be nice, you know, just to hear what's going on. Who wrote something down? Put your hands up. Whoa, one, two. Do I have a three? I have a four. Whoa, naughty. Yeah? Right. There's a purpose in you writing it down. Now, next week we're going to have an activation time. And I would urge you again, look at what has been said, look at that paper I've given you, and just start writing those things down. Writing those things down, those urgings, those things that you feel deep within your heart. And I'm telling you now, God is talking to each and every one of you. And he's got something for each and every one of you. And we'll see how it goes. Next week we're gonna have fun and games. And I was hoping to take it a bit further this morning. What we're gonna talk about, what I just want to say as we go on, spontaneity, where the Holy Spirit moves, there's always spontaneity. It's spontaneous of what the Holy Spirit does. And the spontaneity of the Holy Spirit must be continually flowing. You know, it takes a word, it takes a thought, it takes a something, and you pick up that and you go for it. It can be one word. It can be one word, and you pick it up, you know. And it's like I said to these guys, I just, they were singing about, and the Lord said, hey, challenge them. And I thought, hey, cool, I'm good to challenge, because that's a good challenge. God's got, and it's like with everything else, and it's not a big thing. God's creativity, wherever you look, you see God's creativity. I go into the jungles, into God's cathedral. I call it God's cathedral. But you know, when I go into Durban, I see God's cathedral, and people said, how can you see God's cathedral in Durbs? It's just big buildings. I said, well, look, who gave man the creativity to build those buildings? I've got some wow photographs I took from the harbor of the buildings that inspire me. Of these huge. Now, I love the bush. I like getting into the bush. But at either end of the scale, we've got to see God's hand and God's creativity and find the pulse of life that is pulsating all the way through. It never stops through everything. When you go and look at the sea, when you look into a fire, when you look at the stars, and then you look at each other and you see the pulse of life. You go to the cities or I don't want to go to cities. I don't particularly like cities, but when you go into the city, there's a pulse of life. And if you want to reach the multitudes, go into the cities, because that's where you need to get into that pulse and allow God to start moving. Okay, you with me on that one? And you know, the flow of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit's with us. We don't have to work up anything. And I'm so glad that our worship was totally different this evening. Because to illustrate the point again, because some of you came in here and thought, these guys are, you know, if you listen carefully to those words, there was a strong prophetic challenge that came out of every song. And those songs came from their hearts. They heard what the Lord said, and you can see that. The thing about faith, guys, just my take on it, and I throw it out for what it's worth. The last 2 months, the Lord's been challenging me on faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith. No other way. It's the only way to please him. And we God pleases tonight. And that's why we come here tonight. So he can equip us to even be better God pleases. You hear what I'm saying? Right. Move with a cloud. The Holy Spirit is moving all the time. What we've got to do is discern what is happening. Discern the times. As the men of Issachar, discern what the Holy Spirit is saying. So many times in the church, the Holy Spirit's going one way, and then some dude goes off and rolls, does some silly things there, starts giggling where the Holy Spirit wants to go there. There's time for that, but you need to get to a stage and mature enough to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Huh? You can't carry on doing that. The cloud moves. Now, you might be rolling and rocking and rolling there for years and years and years, but the Holy Spirit's moved on. You know, and then we get into a religious rut into those sort of things. Now, I think I can speak with a bit of authority. I've been around for 41 years. I've been part of all sorts of movements. And it's this movement, it was this CCC and that thing, and this thing, and that thing, and all sorts of movements, some down movements. But, you know, that's all, some, but guys, And everybody's had these things. Quite honestly, I see it. When I started the church in Richards Bay in 1981, I saw manifestations of the Spirit I've never seen again. Huh? I saw in the meetings, the cloud used to descend. The cloud used to come down like a whirlwind. And touch the guys, and down they go. There he goes. He's gone already. Huh? But you hear what I'm saying? We saw these things. We should go and baptize people. We should baptize them in the water. And there was a big chrut tummy. She wasn't old honey, but she was chrut, you know. Duggas, huh? You know. And they went to baptize her. We put her down into the water like that. And have you ever left a cork or a ball loose under the water? To the top. She went up to the top. She floated on the top of the water like that. And it was quite a windy, and the wind blew her across the pool. She lost all her weight. She was under the anointing. It was just she just floated on top of the water. We had a lady go down. She came up. She came up, and we thought she had drowned, but she was in heaven for half an hour. And she had a joy with her Lord. While I was upset, I said, "Why can't I have that sort of experience?" But what I'm saying to you. These things happen, and then you have all these sort of things happening around. There's nothing new under the sun, guys. But we need to pick up the flow and the creativity of the Holy Spirit and where He's taking us right now. And you know, when we come into the meeting, by the way, advance warning. On the 8th, we're going to go to the church, and we're going to have a prophetic morning. Steve has spoken to me about it, and Jane has spoken to me about it as well. And you guys are going to be able to practice what you've heard me say here. Okay? And that's what we're going to do next week. We're going to release you. We're going to release this gift. Well, we'll see which way the Holy Spirit goes next week. How's that? Okay? And you will not leave. The Lord's going to bless you. The Lord's already spoken prophetically in you, over you, through you, whatever. Okay? You with me there? Are we safe? Move with the cloud. There used to be a song. Move with the cloud. Move. The Spirit of God is moving. Move with the cloud. That's before the great Rinderpest. Before your time. But before you were here. But Isaiah 11, the message. Good one. A green shoot shall sprout from Jesse's stump, and his roots a budding branch. Okay? The life-giving Spirit of God will hover over him. The life-giving Spirit, oops, sorry, your toe, I'll pray for it now, of God will hover over him. This is God's prophetic word at the Old Testament. That's out of Isaiah. Okay? And it says over here, the Spirit that brings wisdom and understanding. If there's anything you and I need, is wisdom and understanding in this day and age like never before. The last 2 years, the Lord's been challenging me on wisdom, divine wisdom, one of the gifts we all need, every single one of us need. And I've said that before, and I've emphasized that to you before. We need that more and more and more. If we're going to flow prophetically, we need to have God's wisdom. We need to know how to. When they sang a song of the women at the well, I was going to use that as a scripture next session. It's one of the stories that tells you how to move prophetically. And we need to learn from the prophet above all prophets, Jesus Christ himself. We created the right atmosphere and flowed with the right spirit and just created. And this woman, he never challenged her sin. He never challenged her problems. He just loved her and created this lovely atmosphere for her to make up her own mind to serve and to follow him. And that's why we need wisdom and understanding. We need to understand what everybody's going through. Guys, you sitting there and the problems that some of you guys are having. But it's nothing compared to some of the problems that are out there in the world. And we need to identify, have empathy with the people out there. And we need understanding of how to put that in. And then we have the Spirit that gives direction and bold strength. Power and might. I prefer that translation out the other. Power and might. God's given us all the power and might, and I'll amplify that a bit later now. The Spirit that instills a knowledge and fear of the Lord. The knowledge. We need that word of knowledge all the time. And the fear of the Lord is the worship and an adoration of God. You know, oh, he is God Almighty. He's my brother, but he is God. He is my Lord. He is Dad, but he is my Lord. Huh? And we need to understand where we are on that. The fear of God will be all his joy and delight. Eh? As we reverence, go to him all the time. That's what the prophetic is about. That's what the challenge is to enter into. Then if we take that and we go to the New Testament, we see the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit came upon those guys as they waited in the room. Boy, there was an explosion of power and might. There were the heavens opened, but heavens opened in their hearts. You need to understand that. You know, we've got this, if I may say, a religious thing. Oh, heaven is out there. Oh, mother. Da, 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 da. What did I say to you last week? It's here in your heart. You don't have to go over the sea, as Deuteronomy says, or go next door, or go to Blickiesdorp or anything to find the revival power that you need for your life is in your heart. Nowhere else. You've got to stir it up. Timothy says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to stir it up. Nobody else is going to do it. I'm challenging you now, but when you leave here, you've got to stir up the gift. Amen. That's not heavy, is it? I didn't see any bricks coming at me. The person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, paramount in everything that we do. It's all about him and what he's done for us. Man, this week I just had a couple of things happen that just brought my attention to him again in heaven and all over the place. And you know, just giving these pictures of this awesome God who loves me so much and loves you guys so much. And bring us together and wants to bless us and care for us in every single way. We have, now that's part of what we're going to do here, is we have, and his ancestry, the Messiah will come from David's family. We are related to him by faith. We spoke about faith. Don't forget that. We're part of his family. And don't let the devil or anybody try and take that away from you. And we'll look at that, what we have sometime. We seek his anointing. God's Holy Spirit will rest on the Messiah, giving him unlimited power and wisdom. Unlimited power and wisdom. Paul, Uncle Paul, we spoke about just now, in 1 Corinthians 1, says that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. We need to embrace him as that. Because guys, I'm telling you now, I'll give it to you in writing, you cannot do anything yourself. Even though I said to Taylor, it goes to all of us, a prophetic word for all of us. We need to continue to remind ourselves where our strength is. And you know, one of the things that I wanted you to write down, and just to give an example of my confession, and some people might have heard of it, if you greet me, I always say I'm strong. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. And every time I say I'm strong, I know where my strength lies. And I'm still going today. I'd be dead today if it wasn't for that. And I haven't got time to go into that. But it suffice to say, my testimony is of God's strength daily. And you wouldn't think I'm only 21, would you? Exactly. And that's the reason why we confess the strength, the ability, everything that God has. And that's why I challenge you guys, write down these promises, write down what God has said. My confession all the time, not to everybody. God has called me as a prophet to the nations, as a watchman to the house of Israel, to take his light and salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth, and to be a blessing to the nation, and to clap everybody with a blessing whenever I can. Huh? Come on. Yeah, that's what we're here for, guys. And we need to relax about this. You know, we've got all these religious things. We've had all these teachings about what the prophetic is and what the apostolic is. And you know, I go into Africa and you see some weird things happening over there. You see how the doctor, reverend, apostle, prophet, left hand, right a bit, down right a bit, dun, 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 and I got all the things, all the bells and smells, but oh, no. Sorry, I'm not there to judge people. We become his administration, the gifts and everything. His reign will be just and righteous as he defends the helpless and defeats the wicked. That's what we're coming here to do. That's what you guys are going to speak about. That's where you're going to break through into the nations. Breaking through and his accomplishments. That's what you've got to concentrate on. Not what we can do, what he can do through us. And you heard and you know that each one of you sitting here has got a calling. And you need to enter into that. And hopefully, trustfully, next week we're going to release into those things. Have you got that? If you looked at your notes on the Holy Spirit, you will pick that up. Rest in peace. Rest in peace. yeah, I'm not getting. Let me have some water here. I love this story. This story inspires me no end. Ooh, that song. Yeah. David's mighty men, 2 Samuel 23:8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb, Bathshebeth. And what does it say? The interpretation of his name is dwelling in rest. Now look how God, so many times we read the scripture and we don't realize the fullness that's behind the scripture and what God is saying us in the scripture. And that's why I'm saying to you guys, take what you've got and look at it and see what God is saying to you. And this is what God's saying to us, is that we need to dwell in his rest. And you see, he was a Tashemite. You will make me wise, is a translation of a Tashemite, who he was from. So, you know, as we rest, God will make you wise to what you need to be doing. And I spoke about wisdom. We spoke about wisdom, huh? He was chief of the three. He wielded a spear against 800 who he killed at one time. Come on. If you've got a sword and you kill 800 people in one time, you cannot do it. That's impossible. Try and work it out. 800 people with a sword. Come on. He could only have been under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to have done that. And that's why I'm bringing that out, that story out, as a picture of how we should go out and kill our 800 every day. If he could do it, you could do it. Because he didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit that we had, but he was a mighty man, trusted God, believed in God's promises, and walked in there. And he was a man after God's heart because he trusted in David's anointing and believed in that anointing and got behind that anointing prophetically and then saw this mighty victory. That doesn't end there. Then we have the next question here. And next year among the three mighty men is Eleazar. God has helped. That's the next guy. So we have a guy there who was dwelling in rest, and his family name says that he'd be made wise, to put it in a nutshell. And next year among the three mighty men is Eleazar. God has helped. The son of Dodo. So don't be a Dodo. Okay? He's beloved. Now look at the translation of names. Look at how prophetically God can speak to you. This is why I'm illustrating this. But it's not only illustrating it, it's speaking to your hearts because that's where you need to be. He's a son of Ohi, the brother of rest. Now there we have him dwelling in rest, and next to him is his brother who's in rest, okay, because of, if you look up line and down line of the family, you can see that these things are handed down. And I haven't got time to go, even David, I would have loved to have taken you through David's up line and down line and all of why he sinned and why he didn't sin. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. When you go to 10, you go to the other guy who stood in the field and destroyed 300 acts with a sword. But he fought so hard that the sword was literally welded in his hand. He was one with his sword. Now come on, you prophetic people. What does that speak to you about? Hey? The word. And remember, last week we spoke about the word separates between soul and spirit. It's a word that does it. And it's a word. Remember, we spoke about the third heaven. That's where it all happened. The third heaven's not up there. The third heaven is here in our hearts. The kingdom of God is within us. Heaven is within us. And we need to start concentrating in the right place and realize. If we want to move prophetically, we need to realize where it comes from. And remember what I said to you about this first and second heaven, where the devil comes, everything that comes from the outside. He uses your five senses, okay? And he tries to go for you, and you're thinking whatever. You know, the Indians in America have a famous saying, the one you feed the most is the one who wins, like two dogs in a fight. The one who's fed the most will win. But there's a message there for us as well. We need to feed ourselves on the word, and we need to concentrate on our relationship with Jesus. That is the most important. Or dad, actually, dad. And you've heard my story. You know, when Anne was still working, she's never stopped working. When Anne left where she was now to come home and work even more, when she was still there. Well, looking after me is a full-time job. And She went to Wicca one day, and after she was again meditated at the backyard there, and I was doing the tea, and somebody said to me, make a cup of tea for the Lord. And I said, no, cool. So I made a cup of tea. I said, Lord, I don't know how many sugars you take, but I put in one anyway. So I took the two cups of tea out, and I put them down there, and I put the one chair in front of me, and I sat down there, and I chatted to him. And he chatted back to me. But he was so busy, he didn't drink his tea. So before it got too cold, I drank his as well. Now, listen to this. I did the same thing the next day. Now, what I'm telling you, we need to use our imagination that God has given us. And as you go into the Word, if God is real with you, real to you, then you need to walk in that. Because the more you walk in the reality of who Christ is, the more prophetic you can come, if I may say it like that. I don't want to put things up so, I've got to be more this or more that. Relax. Rest in peace. Remember, those guys won the battle because they were dwelling in rest. They were at peace with God. And that's where the action is, guys. That's where the action. And when you're at peace with God, God starts speaking to you. When I was in Portugal 3 years ago, I had an experience with the Lord where He visited me. And He sat in front of me, and He sat in front of me in one of these chairs, and He told me everything I'm going to be doing in the next couple of years. And He just had a normal sports jacket, normal shirt on, and normal longs on. Never said a word to me. I ran out like a little boy doing, I knew exactly what to do. He took me there, we went out flying over Africa, we did all sorts of things. They said, whoa, no. The more you look out, the more you go to Him, the more He's going to speak to you like that. The more you dedicate your life and your whole being to Him. And that's what it's about. And guys, please listen to me. I'm no big spiritual giant. I don't claim that at all. I said to you, my confession, my strength is in Him. In Bill Brain is one of the weakest guys you'll ever find in this world. But in Christ, I'm the strongest guy you will ever find in this world. See, that's where I think that's, you understand that. I don't have to stress it out. But you see, when you look at the story, that this picture that's been given us, it's a picture of people that were, as I say in Afrikaans, klik vir niks, they weren't frightened of anything. And they used to go and do the job. Okay. Is that okay to give you? And three thoughts out of this. Dwelling in rest will make us wise. We need that wisdom, as I said. Here we find peace. Wisdom leads to that rest. Wisdom, the wisdom of God will tell you you need to rest. The wisdom of God will, if you're in the Word, the wisdom of God will tell you that you need to enter into that rest. Because it's in that rest you'll find the peace that you need. It's only from a position of peace that you can speak. This evening, as I come here tonight, I'm speaking to you from a position of peace. There's nothing else out there. So I didn't say I don't have any mother-in-laws anymore. But you, somebody said I must stop making so many. But I can't help saying these things. just to illustrate the point, guys, we need to realize what we are. We just rest with Him. There is nothing out there. If He's our strength, we need to trust in that strength. We need to move in that strength, and that's where, and that leads to rest. Okay, God has helped. He has not given us. He has not given us His mighty Holy Spirit. So you didn't proofread it. Sorry, you need to change that. He has given us. I don't know how that knot got in there. That's not a knot. Get it out. Okay. Sorry, but you now understand. God has helped. Eh? And you see, one of the third guy, part of his name is that God has helped. And one of his first name spoke about wilderness. So in the wilderness of the world, God has helped and will help you fight the battles. When I do spiritual warfare, I go into that in quite depth as well. Oh dear, wrong one, come here. And we have a life-giving spirit within us. We spoke about that, yeah. Can you see that okay? I don't know if you remember what? Huh? It's a glory, but it's shining. I don't know if you remember the last time I put this up and I showed you here. Maybe just, where's this little doofus that goes doofus? The middle button. Whoa, just like... I'm so glad. I don't know when James leaves me, what I'm going to do. Huh?
let me just show you the middle.
Middle. Right?
So that's the middle of the circle, and you see there. Like,
oh, yeah, cool, thanks. You see, now I've got no teenagers to help me how to do this. Anybody knows how to use a cell phone, come and help me sometime. What we have here in that little triangle is man's word. Now, at that end is where you start, where you give your heart to the Lord or whatever the case may be, and you've got none of God's word. But here you start growing on this line here, and the more you grow, the more God's word gets bigger. You got that. And this is what I'm saying. You need to be in there. And you know, you start here at weak prophetic. And I didn't like the word weak, but you get what I'm saying. And so you grow into strong prophetic. So there is a place to start, like he said, even where they are, one step at a time. Don't rush it. It's not about rushing. It's not about this. Just relax. God will help you. And you know, it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can step out in prophecy. If God's called you to be a prophet, let him deal with that. Guys, let me tell you that if you start declaring that, you know, I'm a prophet and I'm that, that's not how it works. It's not how, it's a calling of God that works. And, you know, if you, it, people will recognize it. And, you know, I've told you before, when not long after IFCC started, I was called out and released and all that sort of thing. But that's what, I didn't even know. I didn't even want to be part of it. And the Lord said, in you go, feet and all. But you see, that's God's business. I just, you know, I just try and relax with him and let him do what he wants to do. With me? Got it. Right. How God speaks. I'm going to go through this really quickly because I've got some other stuff to do. That in itself is a day or two. I love this subject. And I love going into the subject. So unfortunately, we don't have the time to do it. And that's why I gave you a lot of notes for you to read by yourself, you know, how to handle prophetic words. I think it's fairly self-explanatory. So I've left that to your own wisdom to go through it. If you have any questions afterwards or you're not clear on anything, please feel free to come to me and ask me. But okay, he speaks in an audible voice, small, still voice, and actually quite a loud voice. I've had about three occasions now where it's been a loud voice when I was misbehaving. No, I wasn't misbehaving. The last time was about 2 months ago. I think I might have mentioned here that I woke up with a start, the just shall live by faith. A loud, loud voice. That I walked up, I looked at Anne next door, and I thought, no, it wasn't Anne. I just suddenly clicked what had happened. But it was like a wake-up call. Huh? And it just came like that. The time before that, when it happened, I was trying to be a big dude and do a 40-day fast. And I was standing there, and I'd done all this. I was about 3 weeks through the fast. I think I might have shared this. If I've shared these things, just tell me to shut up, and I'll go on. But I was sitting there after 3 weeks, and I was waiting for the angels to come through the door, and it all written on the wall, and glowing in the dark, and all that stuff. Ezekiel, and I was getting uptight, and I just suddenly realized, a little voice came again, hey, what are you doing? I thought, oh Lord, yes, this is totally and utterly wrong. My desk, I just put everything aside, I just took hold of my mind, I relaxed and said, right, Lord, here I am. One word I heard, as loud as I'm speaking to you, relax. I stopped the fast immediately, I relaxed, and from there God started doing something new in my life. So sometimes we need to go through this to learn and to hear God's voice. Sometimes he needs to shout very clearly. And the time I heard God's voice was through me coming to know the Lord, when he healed, when he raised my daughter from the dead. And that was a wake-up call, if there ever was. There's other wake-up calls too. We haven't got time for that. It was an audible voice and a small, still voice. Dreams. God speaks to me in dreams all the time. And remember, the interpretation of the dream, I always say, is with the dreamer. Ask somebody to help you to look at it, to look and see what God's saying if you don't fully understand. But the interpretation of the dream lies with you. Huh? And you just need to sit down and say, well, Lord, what do you say? Sometimes there's a lot of wishy-washy stuff. But you put that aside. But God, if God's giving you a tip, and one of the things, again, to your journal, you remember I said it's not a diary, it's a journal. When you have a dream, write it down. If you don't understand it, just okoyo, as they say in Zimbabwe, just be cool. And just let it go and ask friends, mature friends, to help you to interpret it or whatever the case may be. Don't get all up to, you know when God's getting your attention. You get up, well, that's me. I don't know about you. But when I wake up in the morning, I can feel his presence. But I can feel his presence now. But you know, you wake up and you get the special little touch and you say, what you're saying, Lord. Even with vision, wow, he can give you a vision inside. I have many, just the vision I had with these guys was that music and color. Lots of color, heavenly colors. And it was like in my mind saying colors we've never ever seen before, the world hasn't seen before. There's you know, with music, there's colors. You don't realize. Sometimes I think when we worship, there's colors and things happening. There's crystals. There's all sorts of things out there that we don't see. But if we open our spiritual eyes, we'll see those things. And we don't seek those. We seek him. Praying in the spirit with interpretation. We're going to do all that. Whether we do a lot of them. Illumination of scriptures. You're reading a book and suddenly, bang, it hits you. I mean, how many times haven't we done that? Like in a clop in the face, you know. That experiencing more emotions. Many times when I've had a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or something like this, I start feeling the emotions of the other person, even before I go and do that. Even pain at some stages. Even pain. And you're able to speak that out and release that over them and release them from what they're going through as well. And we, as I said, I wish I had more time on this. Experiencing other physical feelings, pain. Okay, emotions and feelings are different. Personal prophecy, okay. This is what we're talking about, and some of you guys are sitting there crying out for a word, and God will speak a word. The song of the Lord, hey, I think we saw some songs here coming through of the Lord. Okay? And outward or external visions. I've had two external visions. And the one is in Portugal, the other one I was in Zimbabwe. My late wife was lying in the room. I think she died about 3 weeks after. But right in the middle where everything, your whole vision, everything you believe together, everything is collapsing around you. And at that stage, I still had my three fox terriers and I was at the farm up in Zimbabwe and I was sitting on the chair and I had my fox terriers on my lap. And in the pathway, Jesus stood. And he stood, and all he stood, he was just looking at me, never said a word, just stood with me. And that's the face I saw now this week again. And he was just holding a sword. I've shared this with some of you before. He was just holding a sword, that's all. And there was like a fear that came into me to go and pick up the sword because I knew what it meant to pick up that sword. I've got to go his way, the word way. And although I confessed that Wendy died 3 weeks later and that vision just came past, I said, oh Lord, yes. And by the way, behind him were all these angels, like in a V behind him. And it just brought so much security. But it was right in the middle of turmoil, and I just saw one step at a time. It's been one step at a time. And God just takes care. Just put yourself in his hands. Okay, that's enough on that. Now I want to call this amazing diagram this. Now I was searching in my books. I turned my office upside down to find this diagram. And I hate to admit it, but somebody suggested Saint Google. And, yeah. If you've got a problem, Saint Google's got the answer. So I went to Saint Google and I found this thing. It's really going to give my age away. About 1976, at the start of the charismatic move of the Holy Spirit movement up in then Salisbury, Rhodesia, at Harare, at Harry Magolas Hall. Somebody got up and put this picture up there, and I never forgot it. And I got a copy of it, and every time I speak about the gifts and all this sort of thing, I use this because it's a lovely picture to illustrate it. But this one I got off the internet. Mine's lost. So nothing's lost. If you want to find it, you know, gee, what do we do without Saint Google, huh? But there we have the dove. You remember the Holy Spirit comes as a dove. We see that. And somebody put this diagram together. I don't claim originality, but I like it because it illustrates where we're going in this whole thing. So you have the dove. You have Christ, the head of the church. You have the body. The body is comprised of each believer. Each leg is Old Testament and New Testament. On the left you have the gifts. On the right you have the fruit. Now we're going to speak about the gifts. We're going to do all that. But one reason I put this out here so you can get a good picture of it, the fruit of a vine, but down there you see his tail feathers are the fivefold ministry that steer this whole bird wherever it needs to go. Okay. And I just saw such a, it's always stuck with me, and I just throw it into your lap. You can go and get it on Google yourself. And where did we find it? Holy Spirit Dove.
We were going to images, gifts, Holy Spirit Dove.
Yeah, gifts, Holy Spirit Dove. That's what came up. There's lots of other stuff there too you can have a draw with. But I've just picked it up, and as I say, I don't claim originality, but I do believe that puts it in perspective of what we're talking about here. And remember, now we go back to what I said earlier on. You remember about Isaiah 11, talking about the Spirit of the Lord. Out of the stem of Jesse and everything. That same spirit is now living in our heart. Everything I said about the Old Testament is embodied in that. In that dove. Sorry, not in that. In the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit, by faith, has come to dwell in my heart. Now my challenge to you tonight again, prophetically, is aim at this immense power that is in your heart tonight. You see, when we come now, and when we go and exercise our gifts, and when we go and pray for the church on the 8th, guys, I really like you guys to be there as a team and ready to help and ready to come with words and stuff, and we'll see where this goes. You need to be strong, courageous, and firm. Just pick it up, trust God, move with God, and allow Him to do it. And He's all there, all that which you have. Now, just to say something about the fruit, and it's also on the notes I gave you that I handed out earlier. The fruits of the Spirit are imperative. Without the fruits, it doesn't happen. Now, I want to tell you a little story. I was a good boy. My dad used to do racing pigeons. And we were living in Benoni on the Rand. And somebody suggested that we get some millies, soak them in brandy, and give them to the pigeons. Now, of course, you know, it wasn't me, it was somebody else, of course, we always blame. But now my dad's pigeons, so we get these millies, we soak them in brandy, and we hoil them out to the pigeons, and then the pigeons take off. Hold up one, yeah, crash. And we laughed. My dad couldn't understand what was going on. And I never ever told him, because I think as big as I was when I was older, he would have dropped me. But we had fun. We laughed. We rolled laughing watching these poor pigeons. They landed on the deck of the clang, clang, clang. Didn't know where they go. When they went under that spirit, you think, you know what I'm getting. So, yeah. Okay, what was I saying then? The fruits, yeah. You see, I've just lost it completely. Yeah. The fruits, character. Our character development, guys. If you trust in God in any ministry whatsoever, watch your character development. The fruits of the Spirit. And I think I've mentioned before, a pastor came up to me and said to me, "Man, I just don't have any patience." Any patience whatsoever. I said, "You lie." You know, you say that to somebody, especially a pastor. "What do you mean you're alive?" I said, "You're giving your heart to the Lord." Yeah. "You've been baptized in the Holy Spirit." Yeah, you speak in tongues. Yeah, Sharabanda Warai and the Bakon, he gave me the whole thing. He didn't give me interpretation, but I gave him an interpretation. And I said to him, "If you are born again and full of the Holy Spirit, you have the fruits of the Spirit available to you, and one of the fruits is patience. And patience is not a swear word. God has given us patience." And remember, when we're dealing with heaven, God's timing is not your timing. And you heard my teaching on past grace, present grace, and future grace. Past, it's all happened here at Calvary. We received His redemption. Our sins are forgiven. That's final. Okay? Then we come over here in the here and now, and we look back, and we see what Christ has done, and our security is in what He has done. We are secure in nothing else but that. And His redemption. In His redemption, you have healing, you have deliverance, you have everything you need. And that flow, you need to unblock that flow, or that river. We sang about it. We sang about it as well. That river, you need to let it flow. So what's that mean to us? It means in the here and now, that has happened. What is? And then we have future grace as well, that talks about judgment and all that sort of thing. But here, right now, Right now, I have everything that Christ has done on Calvary. And you know, in heaven, it's as fresh as it happened yesterday. That's how fresh. Because there's no time factor there. There's no time in heaven. God's time is not your time, guys. Here we go. So, if you want to flow in the prophetic, you need to realize that. When God says, I'm going to send you to the uttermost parts of the earth, the first thing you want to do is go out and buy a ticket to Timbuktu. Hey, come on. You know, it's taken, I don't know how many years of God walking in God's promises. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. Again, the emphasis in faith comes through in the whole thing. And this is it with the prophetic. It's by faith. It's by faith I get up and minister to you now. It's by faith I say the things that I do that come from within my heart. Okay. So fruit, very, very important, guys. Very important. Okay. And, yo, Chibi, doing well with the time this evening, huh? Yeah, flowing, but no, wrong way, sorry. All right. If you go to your notes, those who haven't, I don't think you might not have had those notes. The one on the Holy Spirit we have, let me take that one. Don't need that one no more. Now, next week when we get together, we're going to be speaking around that. Now, I've given you the notes. You can go, remember what we have, the gifts of God the Father, which are motivational gifts, that which we're born with. And even people who have not been born again have these gifts, because those are what God has done. In his creativity, he has planted those. People just haven't come to the realization sometimes of these. And that speaks of the character of Jesus. Now, we spoke about the fruits. I still want to do one like this on the fruits of the Spirit sometime as well, but I've added it in here on the last one that you said. So we have, I'm not going to deal at length with that, and I'm not going to deal at length at what we become. Now, remember I said to you, let God do it. There's a preparation period. We can't deny that. God's got to prepare us. And our preparation is in our attitude towards our Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus Christ. Remember what I said. The emphasis must be in your heart. I come to my Father in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit. No other way. Amen. And don't let anybody fool you with anything. There are so many voices shouting for attention right now out in the world. Remember, it all comes from the outside. Get that which comes from the inside. You get into your word, you study your word, you feed your mind, you feed your heart with that word all the time. Songs, you know, sometimes the prophetic words that I've typed out, I sit there and one word comes and I type out the prophetic word. I know that sometime I'll come to a person and say, he has a word for you. It might have been 3 months ago. The Lord knows. Remember what I said about time. Guys, we must get that sort of thing out the way. Or scripture comes and you think, well, it's not for me. Type it out. Put it there. Stick it in your pocket. You don't know who you're going to meet that day. That's being prophetic. Yeah. We get it down to basic things. Or God blesses you with something and you bless somebody else. That's being prophetic. So when you get $1 million, you bless me with $1 million. I mean, as simple as that. And then what happens? You get 10 times that amount. Huh, okay. We've always got to bring this money thing into it, but seriously, I use that as a joke. We do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do, and we move with Him. It's His voice we're after, not our voice. Okay. I'm here. So, here we become, these are the gifts of God the Son. This is what Jesus gives us, the ministerial gifts. Diversities of administration, you see that tail of the dove there, the fivefold ministry, what does all that sort of thing. And that speaks about the authority of Jesus. Now, let me say something here which is vitally important. The authority in the church is vested in the eldership. Now, we see the principle in the Old Testament that everything that went into the town always went through the elders at the gate, in and out of town. A thief, as Jesus said, comes over the wall to steal and to rob and to kill. Okay? So, we've got to be very, very careful in doing that. We've got to make sure our attitudes are right here, that we are submitted to the leadership. If you don't like it, listen to what I'm saying. If you don't feel it's a place to be, rather than cause hassles, leave. Or sort your attitude out. Because sometimes an attitude, you know, it's so easy to have an adverse spirit. And an adverse spirit is demonic. Because it stands against what God wants to do. And we're not here to do it. The prophetic. Now, as I said to you, I'm going to speak to Steve and to James down the line. Perhaps in the next season, I don't know when, I'll do a session on spiritual warfare and show you how the devil, how to deal with those sort of things. Prophetically, that's part of the prophetic ministry, just as intercession is. Our responsibility is to intercede for our families, intercede for those around us, intercede for the church, intercede for Steve, intercede for James, who needs more than anybody else, as you know. And you know, guys like this, you know, we need, but to surround them with songs of deliverance all the time, surround the church with songs, surround our friends with it, surround our families with that all the time. That's part of the prophetic, interceding. Not a little group that comes together and interceding, and I've got all this, and I come along to the eldership and say, this is what God is saying, if you don't do it, the whole church is going to collapse. Acorn, it doesn't work like that. You've missed the boat. And let me tell you, when I used to look after all the churches in Northern Natal when I was with IFCC, and that one of the biggest problems that they had in the churches were these groups of people that got together as the so-called prophets and intercessors and everything. That's one of the things that told, and I know you guys are not there, but I'm just telling you what we had to deal with. So those things happen out there. That's a reality, and that's why Paul wrote Corinthians 1 and Corinthians 2 to deal with those. But remember, we have the gifts of the Father. I would like